This is part B of Jesus and the Father, number two. So Jesus saw the Father. Now, we can't see the Father. We'll see probably next time how Jesus set us an example and how closely what God does with us parallels in a very similar way what God and Jesus had with each other. All right. Now, let's come to John 12. So he was taught of the Father. He saw what the Father did. He did what the Father did. Now let's also see something here concerning that Jesus received commands from the Father. All right, John 12, verse 49, last two verses. Verse 49, "For I have not spoken from myself, but the Father who sent me gave me commandment himself what I should say and what I should speak." So this is why he did not sin. He always did the things that pleased the Father, did what he saw the Father do, we're going to see a little bit later, did the works that the Father gave him to do. And so this is the commandment of what he was to speak. Verse 50, "And I know that his commandment is eternal life. Therefore, whatever I speak exactly as the Father has told me." Now, nothing could be clearer than that. All right, let's come back here to John 6. John 6. Let's pick it up here in verse 63. Let's see what else about the words of Jesus that are different than any other words, because there is a spiritual conveyance with the words of Jesus that you don't get with anybody else's words. John 6, verse 63. Oh, let's back up here. After he told them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. Verse 60. John 6, verse 60. "Therefore, after hearing these words, many of his disciples said, 'This is a hard saying, who is able to bear it?' But Jesus, knowing that his disciples were complaining about this, said to them, 'Does this offend you? What if you see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before?'" Again, hello, one Godders, where are you? What do you do with this scripture? He says, in the first part of John 6, he says, "I came down from heaven." How are you going to explain that? Well, they can't and don't. All right, verse 63. Here's the key. "It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh profits nothing," because it's going back to dust. "The words," and he got the words from whom? The Father. "By command. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." That's why when you read and study the Bible, something happens spiritually in the spirit of your mind and with the Spirit of God with you that God is teaching you. Now, let's come back here to verse 44. John 6 and verse 44. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God." How are we all taught by God? With the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, "The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life." So this is something that the rest of the world cannot comprehend. They do not understand how this takes place. Now notice, therefore, everyone who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. And that ties in with many are called and few are chosen, etc., you see. Verse 46, no one has seen the Father except he who came from God. He has seen the Father. Hello, one Godders. What are you going to do? Okay. All right, so that's how we are taught. That's why the words that are in the Bible are so important to us, you see. Now let's notice something else concerning the words of God. Let's come to John 17. All of these are here in the Gospel of John, and these are really tremendous things for us to understand. John 17 and verse 8. 17 and verse 8. Notice what he says here. For I have given them the words that you gave to me, and they have received them, and have truly known that I came from you, and they have believed that you did send me. So he gives us these words. Now come down, drop down to verse 14. I have given them your words. So whatever is here in the Gospels, the direct words of Christ, what is ever in the rest of the New Testament, the inspired words of Christ, they all came from where? The Father. Because we are all taught of the Father. Isn't that amazing? I've given them your words, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. All right, now let's look and see what else has been done here. Let's see some more concerning the commands. Let's come back here to John 14. Let's come back here to verse 21. John 14, verse 21. Sorry about that. Verse 21. The one who has my commandments, and where did he get them? From the Father. And is keeping them. So yes, we are to obey and keep, are we not? That is the one who loves me. So you see, our love to God is expressed by doing what God wants us to do. Not just the thoughts of love in our minds, that's important, but it translates into action, keeping them. And the one who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. That, does that mean an apparition? He's all of a sudden going to come, you know, boom. You know, like some of these modern movies show, boom, and you see some sort of light figure. No. How does he come? By sending his Spirit for those who cry out to him. That's how he comes. Whether converted or whether not converted. If they proceed no further, then they don't go ahead with baptism and receiving the Holy Spirit. Then it's not unto eternal life. But nevertheless, anyone who calls upon Jesus will have that prayer answered if it is sincere. But that doesn't mean that that prayer guarantees or equals eternal life. So that's how he will manifest himself to him. Now Judas, not Iscariot, didn't understand it, said to him, Lord, what has happened that you're about to manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Well, after the resurrection, he learned directly, didn't he? Yes, indeed. But for us, since Jesus has ascended into heaven, it operates a little bit differently. Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, when it's used singularly like that, that's the whole message. and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. Now, I've covered that in about the Holy Spirit. There are two aspects of the Holy Spirit, Christ in us and the begettal of the Father. So they are both dwelling within us with a down payment of the Spirit of God. And the world doesn't understand that, because the world can't receive the Spirit of God, because it won't obey God. All right, here's why. Verse 24, the one who does not love me does not keep my words, which came from the Father, which were commands from the Father, right? And the word, the whole message, that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So when you reject the words of Jesus, who are you really rejecting? God the Father. Contradiction, isn't it, for those who say that Jesus did not exist until he was conceived in the womb of the Virgin Mary? Yes. I've spoken these things to you while I am yet present with you, but when the Comforter comes, even the Holy Spirit, which the Father will send in my name, that one shall teach you all things, and that's called the Spirit of Truth, John 16:13, and bring to your remembrance everything that I have told you, which came from the Father. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give it to you. Let not your heart be troubled, nor let it fear. You have heard me say to you that I am going away and that I will come to you again. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced that I said, I'm going to the Father, because my Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it happens, so that when it comes to pass you may believe. I will not speak with you much longer, because the ruler of this world is coming, but he does not have a single thing in me. Yet he comes, so that the world may know that I love the Father, and that I do exactly as the Father has commanded me. Arise, let us go out. That was on the Passover night. Quite something, isn't it? Exactly as the Father has commanded. This is why we're not to add to or take away from. This is why we're to put all the words of the Scripture together in a way that is proper. See? If Jesus obeyed the Father, had the Spirit from the Father, chose never to sin, always did the things that pleased the Father, never did anything from himself, his own initiative, then what we do then has to reflect the same thing. And we'll see that, yes, it will. All right? Now let's come to chapter 10. Chapter 15. And verse 10. Beg your pardon. All right, some more about the commandments. Very important. Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love. You want to reduce sin in your life? Practice the things that please God. That's how to do it. Okay? And live in Jesus' love. The things I have spoken to you, these things I have spoken to you in order that my joy may dwell in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And all of this on the Passover night. Tremendous. All right. Let's go over here to John 17 and verse 4. Verse 4, John 17. I have glorified you, this is Jesus praying to the Father. I have finished the work that you gave me to do. He had all the works that he had to do. How was he able to do these works? All right. The Father in Christ. Chapter 16, verse 32. He says, listen, the time is coming and is already come that you shall be scattered each to his own and you shall leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, but because the Father is with me. He also told the disciples, come back here to chapter 14 and verse 10. So we'll put these scriptures together. So you see what we're doing, we're putting the scriptures together in a way so we get a complete picture as to what Jesus did, and then how we also can walk in his steps and emulate what Jesus did. All right. John 14, and let's pick it up here in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient for us. Jesus said to him, have I been with you so long a time and you have not known me, Philip? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. Why then do you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak from myself, but the Father himself who dwells in me does the works. So likewise it has to be that way with us. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, but if not, because there were some who didn't believe, believe me because of the works themselves. And the Father gave him works to do, and he said, I have finished the work which you gave me to do. And the work now is still going on. You know, we've heard in the past many times, oh, the work of God, the work of God. And they meant the organization and what the organization was doing. And they forgot that the real work of God is the work that he's doing in each one of us. That's the most important work. See? Because if we do whatever we're doing, and we're not doing what God wants us to do, of what account is it? If we don't continually come to God and ask God for his help, for his guidance, for his wisdom, to show us what we need to do, how to live, all of those things, you see. God is doing his work in us. That is the greatest work of all. And never forget that. And in spite of all the troubles and problems and difficulties that you may have gone through or will go through or whatever it is, God is using all of that to create in you the character that he wants in each one of us. And he does it in an individual way. On an individual basis. It's not the same for everyone, but it's the same Spirit producing what God wants in everyone who has the Spirit of God. So it's very similar in that way to what Jesus was doing. Very similar. Okay, so that, you know, this stuff gets really exciting here when you get into it. Okay. Now, let's tie this together with what? Okay. Let's come back to Hebrews 5 here for just a minute. Hebrews 5 and verse 8. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience from the things that he suffered. And having been perfected. Now think about that. Having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. So the question is, how was Jesus perfected if he was perfect? See? Can you become more perfect? Yes. He was perfected because he was tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. He was perfected as the perfect sacrifice to take away the sin of the world, because being without sin, though he carried the law of sin and death in him, he never sinned. Okay? Now, let's see how that applies to us. Let's come back here. Let's come back here to Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and verse 48. And these are the words of Jesus, are they not? And we saw what? Everything that he taught, he learned from the Father. Everything that he spoke was what the Father commanded him. Everything he did was what he saw the Father do. Okay? Verse 48. Therefore, you shall be perfect, even as your Father who is in heaven is perfect. That's the goal, isn't it? How is that done? Just like Jesus was perfected through the things that he suffered, so likewise we are perfected through the things that we suffer, how we live, doing those things that please God, doing the will of God. That's how we are perfected. All right, let's look at it again here. Let's see how Jesus even prayed that prayer. John 17. John 17. Jesus prayed that we would be perfected. That's the whole business of God, is to perfect us. Now, you can look at a newborn baby, and you look at it, and everything is there, everything is fine, and you look at it, and you say, it's perfect. That is, it's perfectly formed. It's anything but perfect. It's got a whole life to live yet, right? Yes. Well, in our Christian life, we are to be perfected. Now, notice Jesus' prayer. Verse 21, let's go back to verse 17. Verse 17. Sanctify them, that means make them holy in your truth. Being made holy is the process of perfection. And the finality of perfection will not come until when? The resurrection. All right? Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. Even as you did send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, so that they may be sanctified in your truth. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who shall believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may also be one in us. Now, just something to remember here. This is the only verse in the Bible that answers the question directly of Genesis 1:26, where it says, let us make man in our image. The us are the Father and Christ. No one else. None of the angels. Okay? That they may also be one in us, in order that the world may believe that you did send me. I have given them the glory that you gave to me, in order that they may be one in the same way that we are one. I in them, you and me, that they may be perfected into one. That's the whole object. and that the world may know that you did send me and have loved me as loved them rather as you have loved me. So God wants us to be perfected. Let's see how Paul expresses it in Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. Let's pick it up here in verse 20. Hebrews 13 and verse 20. Now here's Paul's prayer. Very similar to Jesus' prayer. And may the God of peace, who raised our Lord Jesus from among the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, perfect you. So we've got to stay in covenant with God, right? That's why the Passover is so important. Perfect you in every good work. Now, what are those who believe in no works going to do with that? See? In order that you may do his will, accomplishing in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ. So God is doing a work in us. Through the Spirit of Christ, through the Spirit of God the Father, through the words of the Bible, through leading us, through guiding us, and all of that. Accomplishing in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory into the ages of eternity. Amen. Now let's come to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter. Let's see what that perfecting is. Let's see how that is done. This is why keeping the Sabbath and using the Sabbath for the purpose that God intended, to grow in grace and knowledge and truth, to be taught the Word of God. That's why it's so important that wherever there is a teacher, minister, elder, whatever, that he's teaching the Word of God. As Paul said, preach the Word. And as we have seen, these are the words of Christ. He's not to preach himself. What good would it do to preach himself? Can a human being save you? No. Only God can. See, we are to preach the words of life, that under all circumstances, everything that God does with us and through us will be perfecting us. We have our part. We have to choose. We have to love. We have to obey. And we can do those things that are pleasing in His sight through the Spirit that He's given us. All right, Colossians, the first chapter, let's pick it up here in verse 7. Even as you also learned from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, who is a faithful minister in Christ for you, who has informed us of your love in the Spirit, because it is the Spirit of God that causes all these things to be done to perfect us. Verse 9. For this cause we also, from the day that we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. All right? That's how you're perfected. Filled with the knowledge of His will. In all wisdom, now that's wisdom, and spiritual understanding. And that spiritual understanding comes from putting the Scriptures together in the way that God intended them to be. And what does this produce in our lives? Verse 10, that you may walk worthily of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. There it is again, good work. And growing in the knowledge of God. Being strengthened being strengthened with all power according to the might of his glory, unto all endurance and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has made us qualified by perfecting us for the share of the inheritance of the saints in the light. So that's what God is doing in us, to perfect us, to do his will. All of these things relate back to what Jesus did, what Jesus said, what he taught, what he learned from the Father and gave to us. All the words of Jesus came from the Father. Isn't that an amazing thing? That we can understand these things? Now today, as we're finishing up here, the world is all out there doing whatever they're doing. Buying, selling, shopping, driving, going here and there, you know, watching football games, basketball games, hockey games, attending events, you know, doing political things, whatever it may be. They don't know any of these things. They're out there thinking they're doing good in all of these things, pleasing themselves, pleasing their families, pleasing whatever that they're going to do. And yet here we sit and we have been given the knowledge of God and the Spirit of God and the truth of God in these things. Now that's really an amazing thing when you comprehend it. And then in this one book, the Bible, God has communicated to us everything we need to know. Then coupled with his Spirit, and growing in grace and knowledge, we may be perfected. Just as Jesus was perfected. A little different manner, because that was directly from the Father. But nevertheless, ours is directly from Christ and the Father too, isn't it? So we can learn from the book of John these things about what he said of his relationship that he had, that Jesus had with the Father. And then we can take those to ourselves in the way that it applies to us and establish us in a relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Quite a fantastic thing when you understand it all. So I hope this has helped you. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.